Many Iraqis can hear me tonight in a translated broadcast, and I have a message for them. The tyrant will soon be gone. The day of your liberation is near. All the decades of deceit and cruelty have now reached an end. Saddam Hussein and his sons must leave Iraq within 48 hours. Their refusal to do so will result in military conflict, commenced at a time of our choosing. Events in Iraq have now reached the final days of decision.
Planes attack the city.
There's Mama inside. She's packing.
Why is she packing? Mama, what are you doing? We can buy new glasses.
Make sure your mother and sisters have money, gold, and make sure they listen. They must leave the country immediately.
Come on, Mustafa, the suitcases. Hala, quickly.
But we will not leave Iraq. We keep moving until the Americans are defeated.
Yes, Papa.
Now go. Take care of your brother, Hussein.
I will.
Mama, they are not important. We have to go.
Okay.
Explosions in a city as Saddam says goodbye to his sons, then leaves the presidential palace and gets into a chauffeur-driven car. BBC, in association with HBO Films. House of Saddam. The sun rises over Baghdad, summer 1979. Egal Naor, Shoreh Agdashlu, Makram J. Khoury. A party's taking place in the grounds of a large house at night. The smartly dressed adults converse and drink while a group of children play in the garden. Saeed Amadis, Amra Wakid, Saeed Tagmawi. Saddam approaches one of the girls playing.
Is that my little mouse? Are you enjoying your party?
Saddam! Ready when you are.
Let's go and find Mama. And just be a moment, Barzan.
He gives Barzan a knowing smile, then carries the girl to a group of women.
This little mousey belongs to you.
Habib T, what time will you come?
Soon.
Mr. Deputy,
come. Children! Let's go, Barzan.
Inside.
Are they all here?
Yes, everyone's here. Khomeini has a big mouth.
What? Thank you, Hamdani.
From the television comes, Khomeini is the leader. Death to those who oppose the leadership of succession. Praise to those who fight for Islam. Praise to the martyrs. Death to America. Death to the followers of Saddam.
Heard enough? More than enough. He's a dog, the son of a bitch. Bark, 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 all day long, every day.
He's a dog with teeth, Ali.
Sharp teeth. You can offer a hand of friendship, but he will bite it off. He wants his revolution to infect all of the Arab world.
Beginning with the Iraqi Shia.
Exactly. And they will become more and more dangerous by the day. Comrades, time is running out. America hopes for a strong Iraq. The Arab world demands it. The Iraqi people themselves deserve it. To the revolution, to the party, to unity. To a new Iraq.
To a new Iraq.
I know a traitor before he knows himself, Saddam Hussein. At the party, Saddam kisses his wife.
Your hand is wonderful. I'll be out here. Mama.
He hands his mother a drink.
How is the lemonade?
It's too sweet. Rakhat, find Muhammad. Ask him to join the party. He's shy.
Yes, baby.
Ragad walks back out.
She's becoming a woman.
She's still my baby.
She should marry Barzan's son, Mohammed. It will bond the family closer still.
Mr. Deputy, the president is about to arrive.
Mama, excuse me.
Saddam goes and waits on the front steps of the house. His wife joins him and takes his hand as the president's car pulls up and he gets out wearing a white suit.
Mr. President.
Mr. Deputy. Sajda, you look beautiful.
You're too kind. Thank you so much for coming, Mr. President. Hala will be thrilled.
Not at all. Thank you for inviting an old man to a 7th birthday party. It is an important occasion.
They walk into the garden.
Please, please, everybody, please, carry on. Where is the birthday girl? I can't see her.
Here she is.
Where? Where?
Here, here.
All I see is a grown-up princess. Where is little Hala?
It's me, it's me.
Then this gift must be yours, princess.
Oh, you're very kind.
What do we say to the president?
Thank you, Mamu Ahmed.
You're welcome, my child.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Hala. Happy birthday to you.
Make a wish, Habibti, and your dreams will come true.
Let's leave the women and children to the games. We have much to discuss, Mr. President.
Okay. You must save me a piece of cake, huh?
Of course I will.
No. Thank you.
The president, Saddam, and his entourage of men go back into the house and another room. The president takes a cigarette out of his jacket pocket and looks a little surprised as the doors are closed around him. Saddam offers him a light.
Mr. President. Please, sit down. There's something I have to say.
He's offered a small chair, but the president walks around and takes the big one on the other side of the desk. He appears wary, but cool.
Smell disquiet.
I'm concerned about Khomeini and the proposed union with Syria. Khomeini continues to call on our people to join his revolution because he knows we are weak. And this alliance with Syria will make us weaker still.
Nonsense. Two Arab people coming together will make for a strong alliance.
Headed by the Syrian president. Assad of Syria will be first and you will be second.
With Saddam Hussein third? Is that your true objection?
I have no objection. Why object to something that does not exist and will never exist? I will not allow it.
You will not allow it, Mr. Deputy.
Saddam stares at him, and Ali, by the window, shifts menacingly.
I smell more than disquiet.
Comrade Bakr, it's over.
Stop, say no more. Saddam, your time will come. We are a team, you and me. Look at what we have accomplished. Look at what you have accomplished. Iraq has schools and hospitals and food for all of the people. For the first time in our history, their minds are developed and their bellies are full. Because of you and me, our country is just beginning to walk in the world. This alliance, us, we will make Iraq stronger. So, do I get to eat my cake now?
It is over, comrade.
He looks around the room, stunned.
They won't help you.
Either you resign voluntarily or through force. Either way you resign. You have earned your retirement, and it is the wish of each of us. that you get to enjoy it.
Adnan Khairallah, you are my defense minister and an officer in my army. Come and stand by my side, and this will be forgotten. Hamdani, we think alike, you and me. Stand by my side.
You will announce your retirement due to ill health, and you will name your deputy as your successor.
The command council will never approve it.
You can remain in the presidential palace until matters are resolved.
Comrade.
In a state of disbelief, the president walks out of the room, escorted by Adnan.
Saddam Hussein al-Majid, my president.
Qasim Ali.
Tariq Aziz,
my president.
Hamdani, my friend.
Mr. President.
Saddam looks over at Barzan, who smiles and nods. Saddam's staring out of the window at a full moon when his mother walks into the room and stands behind him.
So it's done. You are to be president. Now you will need your brothers more than ever.
Yes, Mama.
And no one must be allowed to do to you what you have done to Al-Barq.
Don't worry, Mama. I'm making Barzan my head of security.
I'll protect him, Mama. Let's put you to bed.
Good boy.
Barzan helps her out, and Saddam turns back to the night sky. Then he's outside with Hamdani.
I feel like tomorrow I will wake up in a land of progress and opportunity. I have ideas to help build Iraq, make it ready to take its rightful place in the world. And not just the Arab world. We have a lot of work to do, me and you. And I will always be by your side. Already I feel different.
You feel empowered?
Yes.
And you like it?
Yes, very much.
What's so funny?
Hamdani likes power.
Yes? What's wrong with that?
The president.
It is my view that the man best qualified to assume the leadership is my esteemed deputy, Comrade Saddam Hussein.
Mr. President, this is absurd. Now is not the time to be stepping aside. We are on the brink of a new era in Arab Brotherhood.
Comrade Mashhadi, he has made up his mind.
Well, we must respect his decision.
Mr. President, what's going on here? What is happening?
Please, comrade, please. I'm very tired.
Then we can only accept your recommendation by a unanimous vote.
Very well. We will have a vote in our next session. The members of the council will need some time for thoughts and reflection.
He glances up at Barzan, who's standing by the door and who nods subtly. Then Saddam's making his entrance into a crowded room with his men at the front.
Where is Hamdani?
I don't know.
Comrades. It causes me great pain that one of my first duties as president is to tell you that we have uncovered an atrocious plot against our beloved Ba'ath party.
A torture cell.
You can end this now. Just do what we need and confirm it.
My pain is not eased by the fact that these collaborators are sitting amongst us here.
Or things could get worse.
The witness.
Barzan signals, and the man he was torturing is escorted into the room.
Now,
I want you to imagine your daughter sitting where you're sitting. Imagine.
Now he's at the lectern.
Since 1975, I have been part of a Syrian plot to overthrow both comrades Saddam and al-Bakr. When we, the conspirators, realized that al-Bakr was to step down in favor of his deputy, the assumption of the presidency by comrade Saddam Hussein forced us to put into action a plan to remove him. But as we did so, we revealed ourselves, and our plans were uncovered.
Saddam nods and gestures for him to be taken away.
Comrades, you can imagine how stunned I was to discover that I had been betrayed by my closest colleagues. When the first of the criminals were arrested, I asked them, "What political differences are there between you and me? Did you lack any power or money? And if your opinion differed on anything, why didn't you bring it to the party?" They had nothing to say to defend themselves. The people whose names are read out should leave the hall.
He hands a folded piece of paper over.
Muhammad Ayesh, Fuad Abdullah, Ahmed Amin, Amjad Hashim, Kurdi Abdel Baqi, Badr Abdullah.
We have done nothing.
Ahmed Mukhtar.
We have done nothing.
Haider Jassim.
You're innocent.
Ali Hassin.
This is all lies.
Go on!
I am innocent.
No, please shut up.
Some of the men are enthusiastic, while others applaud with fear in their eyes. Outside, soldiers hurriedly force the named men along a bright, sunlit passageway between two white buildings, where other members of the party are lined up. Each bound and gagged prisoner stands opposite a free party member, who all look shocked and fearful. Saddam hands the man in front of the tortured man a gun. He aims at his head with a shaking hand, then lowers it again.
Fire.
He shoots him in the center of the forehead. Saddam takes the gun and gives it to the next party member.
Fire.
Fire. Fire! Fire!
Tariq's the only one watching with obvious distaste. Next, Saddam's washing his hands when Barzan stands in the doorway behind him. Their eyes meet in the mirror, then Barzan turns and walks away. Hamdani.
My president. I came as soon as I got your message. Is there something wrong?
Saddam walks up to him somberly, watched by Barzan, and puts his arms around him.
Danny, forgive me.
You were always my friend.
I have nothing to forgive you for.
Saddam walked away, then turned and shot Hamdani in the head, causing Barzan to flinch and cower briefly. Sajida is in the large empty kitchen when Ragad walks in.
Mama?
Habibti, what is it?
Baba says he'll see you now. Is it true that I'm promised to Amu Barzan's Muhammad? Is it true?
Muhammad is a good boy. And when the time comes, you must be a good daughter, a good wife, It's what your grandmother Sobha wants.
Sajida walks quickly away, her face drawn and emotional. She goes down a long, ornate marble corridor and into a room where Saddam is standing with his back to her, leaning on a desk.
He was your friend, Saddam. His wife was my friend. How am I supposed to face her? What am I supposed to tell her?
I did what was necessary. The man who can sacrifice even his best friend is a man without weakness. In the eyes of my enemies, I am stronger now.
Nighttime, and traffic drives down a road. Then a plush bar where Tariq, Adnan, and Barzan wait somberly as Ali approaches with a younger man.
Don't speak unless you're spoken to. Be respectful and just listen. Understand?
Yes.
Hello.
And here comes Al-Majid.
Women, gentlemen. No dancing. What's the matter with you? You should be making the most of life. Tomorrow we could all be dead.
You are a funny man, Ali.
Take a seat, Hussein. So who saw it coming? Hamdani.
Saddam.
You didn't know? Did he tell you why?
Only Saddam knows what Saddam is thinking. Only Saddam knows what we're all thinking.
You believe that?
If Saddam believes it, that's all that matters.
But Hamdani was the fixer. He was as good as Saddam's right hand.
Maybe he has a big mouth. Maybe he couldn't handle his whiskey. The two don't mix.
Cousin, I'm simply talking. Amongst friends, amongst family.
Hamdani wasn't family.
Hey, be careful. Nor am I.
Yeah, but you're a Christian, Tariq. You're a threat to no one but yourself.
Hamdani was too clever for his own good. He's the past.
Tonight, my friends, I'm getting drunk, I'm getting laid, and in the morning, I won't remember a thing, except my loyalty to our president, who is neither Al-Majid nor Ibrahim, but half and half.
Ali to Barzan.
Go fuck it, donkey. Go.
Some old cars pull up outside a large white house and soldiers get out. Saddam and Sajida are watching from another car.
I can't do this.
One of the soldiers opens the door for Saddam and he gets out, flattens down his black suit, then goes into the house which soldiers are now guarding. Inside, a group of women all dressed in black are gathered, one of them being comforted. She stands when Saddam comes in and goes towards him, watched by his mother, who sits on a sofa, open-mouthed. The woman stands in front of him, her tearful eyes downcast.
I loved him like a brother.
He holds his arm out, and the young, grieving woman reluctantly steps towards him.
Hamdani, he and I spoke many times, so many times, about how we would put the nation before our own needs. Did he ever talk like that to you?
Yes. Always.
A young girl goes up and puts her arms around the woman.
So I know in my heart that he would have understood that in my place, he would have done the same.
Saddam nods and puts his hand on the girl's head.
That is good for Iraq. It's good for me. He
We lived in you, Amo Sedan. We followed you in all things. And so do I. Tell me what I and my children can do to serve you and Iraq.
Saddam looks at her intently. Outside, crowds of people run along the ancient streets, praising and shouting as Saddam walks proudly amongst them with Sajida at his side. On television, a young man sings, "O love, we love the leader, Saddam the president and father. O love, we love the leader, Saddam the president and father." If he says build, then get ready. If he says build, then get ready. If he says build, he orders and we oblige. O love. Five men walk in single file through a rocky gully.
Why can't we go somewhere where there are bigger animals? I'm tired of shooting little birds.
You hear that, Saddam? Your boy wants to shoot something bigger.
Of course I was here, I could shoot him.
One day you'll shoot a lion all day.
This is the middle of nowhere.
The Crete is not the middle of nowhere. Come.
There's nothing here.
A rabbit runs out.
Mr. President.
Okay, you see? He's yours. Aim carefully. Good. His name is Khomeini.
Bastard!
Never mind. When I was a boy, if I missed, it meant empty bellies for my family and a beating from my stepfather. Come.
No, he was a bastard.
They've made camp in the dry, rocky desert. Sajida to Adnan.
I don't know why we have to come back to this godforsaken place.
It's home.
Be careful with that. And this thing with the tent. The entire wealth of the country is ours, and what do? We put up a tent. It's true, Adnan. What's wrong with going to London or Paris?
Make him happy, Sajida. If Saddam's happy, then it will be easier for me.
What do you mean?
I don't want him to rush into war. He has his sights set on Khomeini.
Then speak plainly.
As long as my sister is on my side, I will.
Adnan, he loves you. You're practically his brother. We took him in. We fed him. We all grew up together. He will listen to you.
He is president.
He will listen.
Be good to Subha. It's hard to believe, but she still has influence.
Look at her. She doesn't like the way I dress. Can you believe that?
Saddam's mother watches them from the other side of the tent. At the gully.
Look around your day. Look around. The land between two rivers. The first great armies and empires were founded here. Do you know the first laws were written here? We have the birthplace of civilization beneath our feet. And we will make it great again, you and I. We are lucky men, Uday. We have a land to die for.
Baba, I'm hot.
Have you heard the word I've said? You are your mother's son. Of course you're hot.
We are in the desert. Drink some water. We are hunters. Come. Next time, maybe I'll bring Potai.
They go to join the others. Baghdad. Inside a coffee shop where some men wear Arab clothes while others are in shirts and trousers. A young man smoking a cigarette puts a black and white bag down on the floor, then walks outside. He turns down the street and starts to run. A young man sitting in the foyer of a marble floor building. He stands up suddenly and goes outside as some smartly dressed men cross towards the exit. As one of them enters the revolving doors, he quickly throws a grenade in and jams the door, trapping him inside. A television reports, the terrorist attacks that today rocked Baghdad are believed to be the work of the Islamist Dawah Party. In a statement claiming responsibility, the banned organization pledged support for Ayatollah Khomeini. The terrorist attacks were immediately condemned by Deputy Prime Minister Tariq Aziz. The hunting party arrive at campsite. Uday has a rabbit.
We did well.
Your mother wants to talk to you. She's inside.
Cars approach.
Isn't that Tariq? What does he want?
I'll be with her as soon as I can. Tell her.
Barzan is already interrogating him.
An agent of Iran.
No doubt.
Son of a dog.
And in the south, Mohammed Bakr Sadr and his Dawah party have now pledged open allegiance to Khomeini.
Treason.
I have my army units at the ready in case of uprising Iraq's army. Of course.
Mohammed Bakr Sadr is one man. It is Khomeini who is the problem. Khomeini is a cause. I struggle to see any option but military.
We don't want to appear weak, but would it be an idea to seek the views of our allies, both Arab and Western? If there is to be war, they will benefit, so why shouldn't they contribute?
And they would like to protect their supply of oil.
Of course.
Access to information from American satellites would be a great advantage, providing we know our objective.
Our objective is to cut off the head of the snake. Excuse me.
Saddam leaves the table.
So it's war.
I don't understand. You're holding council without the people that really matter, the Ibrahims.
Mama, we are hunting.
And talking. Where is Barzan? Where's Shabavi, Batman?
They're busy.
They should be here. Ali Hassan al-Majid is here. He brings his cousin, Hussein.
Who is also my cousin. Mama, what do you want in the name of Allah? They are eager to show their loyalty.
They're eager to make their fortunes. It is your brothers that should be always here beside you at the council.
Half brothers.
And your elder son has the grace of a pig. And your wife allows it. All the way here, he did nothing but break wind.
Oh, there is a boy, Mama. What should I do? Beat him? Like Barzan's father did to me? Drive him away from his home?
You have too much to say to your mother. Leave me. I'm tired.
Real television footage. Scenes from the battle. Missiles are fired. Then the reporter says, as our brave troops begin their advance into Iranian territories, the glorious leader took time to visit the front line.
من وقته لزيارة الجب.
A cartoon clip shows a tank's gun sight being trained on Khomeini, then shooting a missile at him. Men fight in the street, then a man runs out of a doorway and fires at a car. He gets shot in the leg and limps off down the narrow road onto a film set.
And cut!
Very good. Impressive. Is that what it was really like?
Well, in reality, the bullet hurt.
The film will cover the early life of our president when he was fighting for a free Iraq.
It's for the people, for the purposes of morale. Saddam!
Ammo, what an honor.
You did well.
Thank you.
These gentlemen are from Time magazine.
Saddam Kamel.
Remarkable resemblance, don't you think?
You're cousins, right?
That is correct. Saddam Kamel is my brother.
And you're Saddam and you're Hussein.
We have a lot to live up to.
Unbelievable.
We want to have good relations with the U.S. We want the people in America to understand what has happened inside Iraq.
And is there opposition to the war from the Shia in your own country, Mr. President?
Ask the people directly. Go into their homes, see the love for their country.
And for their president. No one forces them to put their pictures of Saddam Hussein on their walls. Still, they choose to do that.
Is it true that the war is going to bankrupt the economy?
These stories are lies. Speak to the people. Ask them if they want for anything.
And what of reports of Iran's military success, forcing Iraqi troops back to the borders?
Recently, Iran has been receiving foreign assistance.
But what about...
Iraq is a country of principle. We are fighting a man of superficiality. Principle will be the victim.
Do you think
now,
that the...
Gentlemen, we have something special to show.
In a classroom, the children recite, "We love you, we truly love you. Oh, Saddam, we love you. You love the people and all the people love you. Oh, beloved."
You have worked very hard.
The children enjoy it, very much.
Tell me, how many of you have fathers or brothers in the army? Oh, good. You should be proud. This girl looks like my own daughter, Hala.
She's very pretty.
Tell me, when you are at home with Baba and Mama, what does Baba say about Ammu Saddam? Anything at all?
Baba says, "Long live Ammu Saddam."
Beautiful. Thank you. Please.
Slow down. I hope you have enjoyed your visit as much as I have. It would be wonderful if you could visit us again soon.
I would like that. I'll arrange it.
The blonde teacher smiles, and Saddam turns to look at the reporters who are chatting together in front of Hussein. In a bar.
Hussein is a good boy. A good soldier. He'd never let you down. He's loyal.
Yes, I like him.
I'm pleased. For the family.
Kamel Hana.
Yes, Your Excellency.
Ask the lady to join us.
Yes.
He goes to the teacher.
Hussein, stand on your head. For the president. He would do it. For you, you would do anything. Is that her? She is pretty.
She is married.
So what?
Mr. President, we are honored.
And I'm honored, you're honored. Please. You look beautiful. Sit here next to me.
Thank you.
She sits with Saddam on one side and Ali on the other, her husband opposite, watching them uncomfortably.
May I just... so I can see you.
And I you.
Thank you for coming.
We are honored.
Yes, you sit.
Saddam takes her hand, and she glances briefly at her husband. Hussein moves closer to him.
May I say that your wife is very beautiful? You must love her very much.
I do.
I think our president likes her.
She's my wife. Beautiful.
Hussein stops him standing.
I'd really do nothing if I were you. There will be compensation.
A television news broadcast. The presenter reports, today President Saddam Hussein praised the valiant efforts of our troops to defend the city of Al-Muhamra.
Why am I reading of Iranian successes on the battlefield?
You would have been informed.
What else has been hidden from me? Were you hiding it from me, Barzan?
No. No, a report has been prepared.
Why did we fail at Al-Muhamra?
We were taking too many casualties, and the withdrawal was ordered.
So our soldiers refused to die for their country.
It was becoming a massacre, Mr. President. It was a tactical decision to fall back and regroup.
It was a coward's decision, General Khairallah. I want Colonel Ahmed al-Dulaimi and General Jawad Shiatna executed.
They are two of our best. Their decision was purely tactical.
The Iraqi army does not retreat. Do you understand? Barzan, summon the commanders in question and oversee their execution immediately. Hussein, come with me.
Stand for the president.
They stand, and Hussein nods at them scoldingly before following Saddam out. Barzan.
Hussein is like Saddam's Siamese fucking twin.
He's doing his job, Barzan. Nothing more.
Yeah. He's doing something.
Barzan nods thoughtfully to himself and looks round at the others before heading out. Adnan also looks thoughtful. Then the family are gathered outside a room in the palace when Saddam approaches.
How is she?
Sajida takes his arm tenderly.
Barzan's with her.
She's very weak.
Saddam goes into the room, which is filled with thin red drapes that hang down from the ceiling. Barzan is sitting by their mother's bed and looks up as Saddam walks in.
Mama.
Barzan, leave us. I want to talk to Saddam.
He goes out and Saddam sits on the bed.
Your strength is in the family. Blood is permanent. I want Rakhat to marry Barzan's boy. I want you to keep the family together. My family.
Mama, why are you talking like this?
Keep Barzan close. He was always loyal to you, even when he was little.
You should rest, Mama.
It is a good thing that you never knew your father.
He was mad blood.
She has her hand to his cheek, but Saddam flinches from her touch when he hears the words. Saddam puts his hand to her face. He leans forward towards her.
You gave me nothing.
At the funeral, the men carry her coffin into the mausoleum through some black drapes, led by Saddam and Barzan. The mourners all wipe a hand over their face, then stand with their palms held upwards while the Imam speaks. Then they're all walking outside again, Saddam and Barzan side by side.
Saddam, she was proud of you and of our strength as a family.
As I am. You should know Barzan. It was a wish before she died that Ragat should marry Hussein.
No. Ragat has been promised to my son Mohammed for years.
It was a wish.
No.
She thought it was time to recognize my father's family.
She said that?
Barzan looks over at Ali, who nods.
Saddam, I've been loyal to you, always. And now this insult, not just to me, but to all the Ibrahims. Please, think of my honor.
Saddam gently places a hand on Barzan's shoulder, taps it once, then walks away. Ali and Hussein follow his lead, but Barzan remains, shocked and angry. In the street, a convoy of cars carrying Saddam travels down a narrow road, but is blocked by a truck that's parked across it while it's being loaded with wooden boxes.
Hussein, the driver of this truck is to be arrested. Those coffins should be covered. Mothers and wives do not need to be reminded of their sacrifice. Everything in the city is to be normal.
Barzan looks round at Saddam.
Shouldn't we also be thinking of other towns and cities? Our soldiers come from all over. What about the wives and mothers of Mosul, Basra, Jujail? Victory will heal everything.
Yes, victory will bring rewards for all.
These places belong to the Shia. You have to go to them. Let them see you. The war is casting a shadow. Only you can lift.
Saddam nods thoughtfully. A pair of tall double doors are open from inside, and Saddam steps out into bright sunlight, where an adoring crowd greets him and television crews film him. Then the motorcade's traveling down a dusty road.
This is the Arab nation.
We will have justice. We will have victory over Khomeini.
Do jail.
Just as our nation repulsed the invaders of the past, so we will crush Khomeini in this second time. No one has sacrificed more than your brothers.
But the 39,000 people of Dujail are loyal to the country, to the party, and to Saddam Hussein!
Saddam's in the car again, with the crowd running along beside it. They drive back out of the city limits and along a road through the country. Saddam sits in the back seat, looking ahead. The first car veers off the road and the others pile up. The driver is shot, and Saddam dives down onto the seat. He gets out of the car as his soldiers are repelling the attackers.
Are you injured, Mr. President?
They tried to kill me. They tried to kill me.
We need to get you out of here.
No. You must go back to the jail. Now! Now!
He speaks to a gathered crowd.
These few shots won't frighten the people of Iraq, and they won't frighten Saddam Hussein. We will find the assassins, and I swear on my honor, we will have justice. We will have victory over these agents of Khomeini.
Barzan and Hussein are with Saddam in his office at the palace.
My men are making a rest already.
Still, how many rounds of ammunition were fired at my cars?
My estimate is in excess of 300.
300 rounds. I'm not immortal. All it takes is one bullet. One bullet. Yet these traitors were given 300 opportunities to kill me.
Yes, and they will be found and punished.
I hear you are the second most powerful man in Iraq, Barzan. Some might say you have the most to gain from my assassination.
No, no. No one is more loyal than me. Saddam, I am your brother.
Saddam and Hussein exchange a look, which Barzan notices. He stands up straight, shocked, as realization dawns, and looks from one to the other.
I will do my duty. I will find the traitors. I promise.
A large stone bowl on a table in a house shakes from an external vibration. A bulldozer bursts through the wall.
Tear it all down! Everything! I want everything destroyed! Every house! Every brick! Everything destroyed! Crushed! Leave nothing standing! Get rid of it all!
The soldiers drag people away. Buildings are destroyed, families separated. Barzan watches the chaos as dust and smoke swirls around him. At the palace, Ragat's sitting on a chair, having the final adjustments made to her wedding dress by two old women in black. Saddam walks in wearing a white suit and goes to stand behind her, looking at her reflection in the mirror.
You look simply beautiful.
The guests are gathered in the marble foyer.
Paris is beautiful.
Sajid is distracted by the teacher's arrival.
Who's the blonde?
Just some friend of Tariq's.
Tariq watches her walk across the room. Then he sees Barzan making his way to the stairs and head up them as Ali and Hussein are coming down.
Barzan, you look worried.
Barzan stares at them, then carries on up.
He couldn't find the donkey.
That's a good one.
I want you to know, I would only trust the happiness of my daughter to a man who owes me everything. Hussein is such a man. He will be a good husband. Okay, Habibti?
Barzan comes in.
Mr. President, I have things that need to be said.
It's done. I have carried out your orders to the letter. Jujela's gone. And it's my wedding gift to you.
Ragat, please.
Ragat leaves them.
The traitors, their families, their associates, all gone.
I know.
I'm ready to serve my president, my brother.
From now on, Barzan, Hussein will be responsible for my personal security. He will be my son. I trust him. We will talk more later.
No. Why are you insulting me this way? I have been loyal to you. I have done everything that you ask of me. I even accepted this wedding. Saddam, by continuing to favor the Al-Majid, you are surrounding yourself with weakness. They are not interested in Iraq.
Know your place, Barzan. They are my blood, you understand? And I know a traitor before he knows himself.
I have given you my soul.
You will attend the wedding, and then you will leave Iraq.
Saddam walks out, and Barzan looks down in dismay. The guests stand watching and cheering as Ragad and her procession walk along the mezzanine above them. Barzan staring intently at his reflection in a mirror. He smashes up the bathroom. Ragad walks down the stairs and is greeted by her mother. She makes her way towards her throne beside Hussein's, and he helps her into it, then sits down looking very proud. Hussein and Ragad smile as the guests applaud and start to cheer again. Uday.
Now watch this crusade.
A glass elevator descends with Saddam standing in it.
Cool, eh?
He holds onto its rail and looks out over the guests with an expression of grandeur. He makes eye contact with the teacher and she smiles up at him, which Sajida notices. In the bathroom, Barzan has calmed down and looks at his reflection in the shattered mirror with haunted eyes. Ragad turns to Hussein, who is smiling and nodding at the applauding guests. Saddam and Sajida are standing together now, and she looks up at him, smiling, as he waves to the room.
This series continues next Wednesday at 9 here on BBC Two. And another new drama, The Tudors, is back this Friday at 9.